Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him and spread the word concerning what had happened and what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, thanks for that reading, and do keep your Bibles open as we come into week 4 of our series, A Very Different Kind of Christmas. We've been looking at the characters in the Bible story, and that has meant a little bit of jumping around a little bit with the timescales, but I hope that each week it's given you something to think about and you've heard God speak to you about perhaps a situation you're finding yourselves in, or a feeling or an emotion that you're going through, particularly at this very difficult time with this different kind of Christmas. But Christmas, of course, is magic, isn't it? You know, where would Christmas be without that little bit of extra magic? That film that you're going to watch, you know, because you've always watched it. And I wonder whether it's going to be Home Alone or whether it's going to be It's a Wonderful Life. But in all of those films, there's that little bit of magic there, isn't there? That resolves the whole story and everybody comes together and life moves on in a very happy place. Of course, pantomime is Christmas, isn't it? And last year, we went to a pantomime here in Stoke and took our granddaughter, the first time she'd ever been to a pantomime. And what a lot of fun we had. But what I notice about things in the theatre is that often the story starts off very small, almost insignificant. In fact, I think at this pantomime, the curtains stayed closed and one person came and stood on the front of the stage with one spotlight. Everywhere was dark and you just focused in on that one person who began to tell the story. And then all of a sudden, the curtains open. You see what has been there all along. The lights come on and the excitement builds to see the bigger story and have the fun of all the calls and all the involvement that you can at a pantomime. And I think that's a reflection of what often God is doing in our lives. It starts off very small, very quiet, very focused. Maybe one thing happening. But we know that behind the curtain, there's incredible things happening. And this story of the shepherds out on the hills that night, I think is just a similar start to the story that they got involved in. An unexpected start to their story that transformed their lives and gave them a very different kind of Christmas. The shepherds, of course, were isolated. They were on the margins of society. They weren't appreciated very much at all. In fact, they had struggles with the culture of the day because they couldn't take part in the religious activities, because they couldn't get to the temple often enough, as much as they should have done, because they were looking after their sheep. Of course, as well as that, they would have been quite dirty. In fact, some people would say quite smelly. So even from a social point of view, people didn't really like associating with shepherds very much at all. Life for them was definitely on the margins. And we read in this passage that they were in the fields that night, as they always had been, when something started to happen. And it started off very small, but soon they were involved behind the curtain in this magnificent story that we celebrate at this particular Christmas time. All of those shepherds, greeted by an angel. All of them told not to be afraid. All of them told to be ready, that their lives were just about to be turned around when they encountered Jesus. And that's true of all the characters we've looked at so far. We looked at the childless couple who were lost in their own feelings of frustration about what wasn't happening for them. We saw Joseph, who had to deal with a situation he didn't think was he'd ever have to deal with. And then Mary, of course. Mary, who had to explain the unexplainable pregnancy, and her life took a complete turn as well. But today, what could God do with a group of shepherds who were isolated in the fields that night? What was God going to do through them as part of this overarching story that we get to be involved in? And what can change when we allow God to move us from feelings of isolation and aloneness to the security of being included? See, the angel brought good news. It was great news. And I think there are three things that we could learn from this particular story. The first thing I want to say to you is that you are not forgotten. God sees. Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, verse 8 says in Luke chapter 2, but a million miles from being included. Living in the fields. I've lived in the fields twice, I think, in my life. Two different camping experiences that both started well and ended terribly. On both occasions of my living in the fields, it poured with rain all night, the tent got flooded, and I ended up spending the night in the toilet block. Not a lot of fun living in the fields, even for one night for me. Now, these shepherds spent every night out there, in all weathers, watching their flocks by night, looking out for robbers, looking out for predators, protecting their livelihood and their future. And even though people ignored them, even though they were taken for granted, even though they were forgotten, God sees them, because no one is forgotten by God. In Psalm 33 and verse 13, the writer says, the Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. Well, what a declaration for anyone who feels isolated, anyone who feels forgotten. The Lord sees you. And on that night, he saw the shepherds. He dispatched his best angel to them, and the angel brought a message to them. See, God has something to say to people he sees, whether in dreams or in person. And the shepherds are awake enough to hear this beginning of this good news story that would lead them right to the manger. The angel brings good news, the reassurance of good news, not condemnation. Good news. All of us know what it's like to get good news, don't we? Even when we're fearing the worst. And the shepherds, who may have wondered if they were important enough to be seen by God, were chosen. They weren't forgotten. During this time of isolation, it is too easy to think that we've been forgotten. But the good news in verse 11 of Luke 2 says, Today in the town of David, in the little town of Bethlehem, something extraordinary has happened. A birth has taken place, and you are included in this story. He has been born to you. You are not forgotten. No palace, no robes, just wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. A place that all of us can be familiar with. A place we can go even without washing or changing, without fear of criticism or rejection. Because as the angel said to the shepherds, he is born to you. God sees. You're not forgotten. Secondly, you're not alone, because God knows. I love it in the Bible, and it happens many times, when the text says suddenly. It's got that word of something new beginning to happen, and you can find it all over the Bible. Suddenly. Something important is going to happen. It's like the curtain has been opened all of a sudden when you didn't even expect it. And here on the hills, the curtain is pulled back and the show begins. You're not alone. The sky lights up. The music begins. God has put out his very best choir just for you. His very best song. and a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared, praising God and announcing glory and peace and favour to all. See, God knows what we need and how we still need to hear that song. Favour, peace, God's glory all around us. God knows what you need and he knows when you need it. While the shepherds were at work, God came. While they were doing what they always did, God came. Because he knows. He knows your name. The psalmist says it's engraved on the palm of his hand. He knows the number of the hairs on your head. He knows your story. You are not alone. Sometimes, some of us, we discount ourselves from God's opinion of us. But God knows, and he cares, and he loves, and he announces good news to you today. If you've ever had a workplace appraisal, you'll know how excruciating it can be, don't you? Shining a light on your performance, your effectiveness, your impact, longing for affirmation but experiencing something less. It can feel a very lonely and isolated place. No matter how well you've done, there's always something more. But God knows all about us. He's done his appraisal of us, and he still comes, as he did to those shepherds. The light of his presence shines brightly and invites us to step just that little bit closer. Advent, of course, is a season of waiting, and we are more keenly aware of waiting this year, I think, than ever before. Waiting for the pandemic to end, waiting for the vaccine to be rolled out, waiting to see family and friends over this Christmas period, some of whom we haven't seen for many, many months. And on that night, in that place, some were waiting for the Messiah to come and deal with everything that was frustrating, every limitation, every barrier, to knock down the wall of hostility that separated people from one another and from God, to cross the lines people had drawn to decide who was in and who was out of God's favour. And the Messiah came. Because he knows. He knows we need him. And he knows when we needed him. And suddenly, the good news of great joy was for all people. The birth of Jesus whispers, you are not alone. To you today, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is born for you. The one you've been waiting for, looking for. But you won't find him as a warrior. You won't find him in a palace. You'll find him as a baby, in a manger. God knows how to come and make himself known to us, because he knows us, and he knows that Jesus was the answer to what we were longing for. We are enough for him, and we with the shepherds get to go and see what we've been told about, to kneel and to worship the one who's come. See, the shepherds are desperate to be included. God sees and God knows. But I think there's still one more step that is the best news of all. You are not lost, because God saves. Excuse my English, but the good news is even gooder than we could expect. The great joy is even joyer than we could dare have hoped for. The all gets even aller than we dare to imagine. Good news of great joy for all people, not forgotten, not alone, not lost. Because Luke tells us who this baby is. And this is the baby the shepherds were about to encounter. And Luke in verse 11 puts three titles together that you won't find together in anywhere else. Jesus is Lord, he is Messiah, he is Saviour. Because that's exactly who the shepherds needed, and it's exactly who we need as well. Someone to build our life on, someone to have hope in, and someone who would love us. And here is the heart of Christmas. God sees, God knows, but God saves. Many years ago, I got a Christmas card which had this written on it. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a saviour. And it is this truth that causes the greatest celebration. It's this realisation that I don't need to stay isolated from God's presence. I can be included. Because nothing can separate me from his love. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, the shepherds returned completely changed people. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They were still shepherds. They still were in the same old fields, still doing the same old job night after night. But now they went back to their work knowing that they were included because a saviour had been born who would save them from their sins. Now, we all have hopes and dreams. The shepherds did as well. We all long to deal with the things in our lives that we know trip us up and knock us down and frustrate us and isolate us from others and from God. And we try to deal with it ourselves, thinking next time we'll be better, next time we won't make the same mistake. But the Bible says, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. And that is the loneliest isolation of all. The isolation from God. But the Christmas story is good news for those same all people. All have sinned, but the Christmas story is good news for those same all people because Jesus is the Saviour. And Paul goes on to say that even though we all fall short, in the next verse he says that all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. All are justified by his grace. All are saved because of Jesus, because a Saviour is born to us today. We all want to do better. We want to be better, be set free from the stuff in our past that gets in the way. But we can't get to where we want to be until we acknowledge where we are starting from. We all need a Saviour. Shepherds, kings, teachers, doctors, vicars, the young, the old, all need a Saviour. And his life points to a future for us all. Jesus came to deal with what has happened in our lives so that we too can return glorifying and praising God together. I pray that this Christmas will be a season for you when you understand that you are included in this incredible story. This story of hope, this story of love, this story of forgiveness. And that you can know this Saviour, Jesus Christ the Lord. Don't stay isolated from God's love. Respond to his love. And be included in his love. You're invited to hear the good news. A Saviour has been born to you. It will cause you great joy when you encounter him. For you, Jesus came so that you could be included. So don't stay in the fields, isolated and alone. The angels are inviting you to hurry to see Jesus the Saviour and to discover him for yourself. You are included. Let's pray together. As we reflect back on this great news, I'm guessing we'll have a different response to what God is saying to us. There may be some of you today who have never felt included in God's love. And maybe today is the day when you start making that journey, when you hear the voice of the angel inviting you to come and see Jesus. If you've not made a commitment to follow him, I'd love today to be your day, when you know that you're included in this incredible story. So I'm going to pray, and if today is your day, then why don't you just silently pray this prayer along with me and feel the love and forgiveness of Jesus and the welcome into his family today. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Maybe just take a few moments to ask his forgiveness for anything particular that is on your mind and heart today. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you came and were born one of us and one with us. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you welcome me and include me in your family. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, I pray particularly for anyone who has made that commitment today, who has prayed that prayer, that this Christmas will be like no other Christmas they've experienced because they've been included in your family. Be with them now, I pray. May they be assured of forgiveness, assured of your love, assured of your peace and your joy. Amen. And Father, I pray for those of us who have been following you for a short time or a long time, I pray that we too will make that same commitment to know that we're included, we're part of this story, that you have come to be born with us, and that we can experience more of your presence and your power at work in us. So fill us again, I pray. May we have the reassurance of that, of being included, as we step closer to you and we embrace the good news for all people. So, Holy Spirit, fill us again. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer this morning, and we'd love to, for you to let us know that you did, and we would love to help you on the next stage of your journey. This is just the beginning of a lifetime of knowing Jesus. So just get in touch with us. Just drop us a line at inquiry@newcastlebaptist.org.uk, and we'd love to help you take some next steps and help you in that journey of faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. I pray that you'll be wrapped up in God's love. I pray that you'll know his blessing in full measure upon you, upon your families, that you'll have wisdom to know what God is calling you to, and that you'll embrace this story, and that you'll know the fullness of God's love and joy and peace in your life. God bless you.